Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cut to the Chase. This episode, we're going to be talking about recruitment do's and don'ts. And as a brief introduction, I would like to introduce our special guests from our first segment, where we talked about recruitment challenges, Miss Kaylee Nixon. We'd like to give her a big shout out. And so just to kind of talk a little bit about Kaylee, for those that didn't listen to part one, recruitment challenges, Kaylee is a business manager for a global recruitment company. She's got 5 years of experience working with Fortune 500 companies, primarily in the oil and gas within the Houston metropolitan area. She holds a BA from Texas A&M. She's respected as a BD, thriving negotiator, building relationships, and ensuring resources are treated fairly. And most importantly, contracts are negotiated correctly. So hear me correctly out there. For those of you that are looking for jobs, Kaylee Nixon is your girl. She's the person. Not only is she a dear friend, but a professional colleague that I've known for almost 4 years. She is a wonderful, wonderful person. And overall, I think that about summarizes our special guest for this segment of episode two, Recruitment Do's and Don'ts. Is there anything additional you would like for our listening audience to better understand who you are and what makes you tick? Kaylee.
Ball out of the park on that one. But no, definitely. Really what I hope to do is continue to add any insights, value, really just understanding of the overall market, especially from a supplier's perspective. And it's something that's fun and exciting for me solely because I genuinely like to pride myself on making sure that, you know, our contractors and clients are well looked after and their equivalents. So our contract personnel are just as important as our clients are and vice versa. So I'm excited to continue hopefully exploring and advising and a little bit of insight on that.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So again, for those that were privy to our first segment, recruitment and challenges, this is a part of our three-part segment to provide insight into COVID-19 and the recruitment challenges. Kaylee and I have been exploring and discussing how recruitment companies should adapt to what we're calling now the new norm. So this is segment two, recruitment do's and don'ts. And so, Kaylee, what I'm going to do, what I'd like to do here is just kind of, you know, let's dive off the deep end. You know,
I'm
you ready to jump off the diving board?
Need some excitement.
I think you are. I mean, we've had so much fun, you know, over the past 4 years and laughter. I just think, you know, it's worth diving off the deep end at this point. So my first question here is, what are the top three most important things to remember when you're dealing with a global crisis or pandemic from a recruitment standpoint, from a recruitment firm standpoint? I mean, you have to have some type of tools in your toolkit that's going to help you kind of weather the storm.
And
what are your
top three most important things when you're looking across any potentials are going to be communication, quality, and trust. And really to elaborate on what do those three items mm-hmm. mean. With communication, if you listen to segment one, you've heard me say a lot about, you know, knowledge or make sure you're transparent, etc. But truly, truly in situations like this, knowledge is everything. Being able to display, you know, transparency as far as, you know, what's out there in the news, what's in the media, what are clients saying, what are competitors saying, that's huge. And I also think that it's very, very evident, and not even only in times mm-hmm. of pandemic like COVID-19, but even through mergers, acquisitions, change of upper management, lack of knowledge only results in less productivity, distractions in the workplace. We're human nature, so the unknown at times can be scary. And so just remembering to always mm-hmm, mm-hmm. provide positivity, see the bright light in any situation, but also not to give false hope. So you are truly being transparent. That way, I'll lead into build trust. You, by doing communication and by having that transparent sure. aspect, whether, you know, it's positive, it's negative, whatever it might be, you're going to build trust from the client. They're going to know that, you know, you're willing to communicate even the not so positive news to your contractors, and how you go about that's huge. You're going to build trust in your contract personnel and the candidates that you represent, because they're going to know that you're going to give them truthful information at all times. Trust also is important, and I think that's an important reminder mm-hmm. to look at, not only from suppliers, even internally at any company. Trust in the people that you selected to represent, to earn, and to run your companies. They're there for a reason. You selected them for a reason, and even through turbulent times, they are going to be the ones who keep you afloat to take those next steps. So really, really try and look at these three things jointly, because I think it's huge. And sometimes it's easier said than done, mm-hmm. but trust in the leadership of your company. You are where you are today because of them. We all have our, you know, battles across, you know, different aspects, but trust in the leadership that's, you know, pressing things ahead. Trust that there's going to be a comeback. There will. Especially if you look at the oil and gas industry, it's almost an inevitable cycle. Not necessarily exactly the way that things have happened with COVID-19, but it's always going to come back. And, you know, speaking from, mm-hmm. you know, stateside, most of the time we come back with vengeance. But I'm not only going to speak on stateside due to my experience sure. of doing a lot of the international work. There's always been a comeback no matter where you are internationally. You know, yes, there's frustrations with, you know, how individuals or other countries, you know, maybe how we work with them, et cetera, but there's always the comeback. And then really trust in the systems and processes, you know, procedures that have been put in place, the strategies, the plans. If you don't build that trust in those, it's going to be really hard to continue to press forward. And if there are areas where there's trust lacking, then have those roundtable conversations mm-hmm. so that trust remains. And then quality, I think that, again, from a supplier standpoint, we have to maintain quality and looking after our contractors, even if it's we can't go see them face to face, or there's things that we were doing that we are not unable to do because we're working remotely. It's withholding or upholding the quality that we offer to our contractors. Same goes for our clients. It's making sure that the services that you offer, mm-hmm. they remain the same, and you take any avenue that you have to ensure that. And then quality in the strategies. You can have a strategy all day long, but if there's no quality behind it, if there's no as much tried and true as you can possibly put in it, how are you going to say that it's going to remain quality? And then again, just as I said, sure. with trust, sure. quality people, processes, programs, etc. Those are things that really should have been implemented for chaotic times, but it's a good reminder to always remember, hey, we implemented quality. Mm-hmm. Let's not let that slide in a time of chaos.
Those are all extremely noteworthy items, you know, particularly as you look at it through the lens of a recruitment agency. Like you said, you elaborated on how important communication was in segment one, and that transparency, and certainly I couldn't agree with you more. Quality, as you've alluded to there, as I understand it, you know, you're basically saying be proactive with your strategy, your plans, your vision, understanding the existing, as well as trying to prepare ahead of that curve to deal with the pre-existing plan of actions, which also is important, because certainly a lot of companies nowadays, they tend to have policies and procedures and what I would consider to be rigor, but really these things they're kind of inadequate, you know, they're just unrealistic. They really haven't been fully vetted or implemented in an aspect that they can deal with the adversity of a global disruption like what we're dealing with right now. And I'm speaking myself from experience, not only having a lustrous career of working in a consultancy means for, you know, 12, 14 plus years before I went back and became an employee for a short period of time. And then now I'm back as a consultant or entrepreneur. It's one of those things where earlier on in my career as being an employee coming out of the Navy, I realized that certain things that needed to be in place were just not in place. And it didn't give me a warm and fuzzy at the time. You know, a good story behind that, just to kind of share with the audience and also to share with you, when I was in the semiconductor industry, and this was back during, I want to say 2000, probably 2001, maybe 2002. The semiconductor industry, as most people don't realize today, went through a huge global disruption. At one point, you know, we saturated the market with the amount of computer chips and DRAM processors. Cell phones were running rampant. Everyone had them. They were very accessible. And so what happened is, once the market got saturated, there was no means for us to kind of to really develop any further technology. It was just too readily accessible. And companies were just not prepared. And so what were they looking for? They were looking for cheaper labor. They were looking for less mindset of entitlement. And so a lot of companies that I worked for back then, they picked up and left. They left the US, you know, and like you said, no real lack of communication or sense of quality or trust. And I'm glad, you know, you brought all three of those things up, because as I look back into my history, those were the things that really turned the light switch off for me as I look at what transpired during my illustrious 14 years in the semiconductor industry, and when the semiconductor industry went pop. So certainly I'm glad you shared that. I'm glad you shared that with us. So with what you're seeing right now, Kaylee, and obviously I got off on a little bit of a tangent, I just wanted to share that story because it kind of tied back to your communication, quality, and trust. You know, with regards to the companies and your clientele that you have out there today, do you see that they're protecting themselves and protecting their employees for such a thing as what we're going through right now? You know, this kind of global disruption. I mean, what are your insights on what you're seeing out there on the market?
I think that every company says yes, have plans, that we have procedures. You know, we've sat down and done our annual, you know, end of year or beginning of the year meetings, and we've, you know, strategized for X amount of years over X projects. We've built in cushion for, you know, any unforeseen delays. But I don't think that anybody can actually say that any company has been 100% prepared for COVID-19. And I say that for anyone from your super majors to your mom and pop companies. And really how each section, so whether you want to break it down by your major, your super majors, to your mid-size small, to your privately owned small portion of the sector, there are going to be companies in every single one who are going to really, really struggle to come back from it. And those companies very well have plans or procedures in place for things like this, but they hadn't been tested, tried, and true. And unfortunately, I can't say in my lifetime that, like, they've even had a chance to, you know, actually utilize these processes and plans. And I think that's something that globally we're seeing. I don't think that it's anything here just in the States. You getting off on the semiconductor kind of even, it was a reminder that even though there's so many processes and procedures and plans of action that are put in place for, you know, things that being in the Gulf Coast, things such as hurricanes, they still never go as smoothly as everyone expects. There's no way to determine how quickly you can recover, you know, areas that had mass destruction. And so I think that's just a constant reminder. You can prepare and prepare as much as you want, but sometimes Mother Nature or life has its own little twist. So always building in a little bit more cushion than you think you're going to need. And looking at budgets, I mean, I don't know. I could go on all day about, you know, when we do have a comeback, what's going to happen. Budgets and rates and really packages have never fully recovered, even from the downturn, you know, that lasted, you know, 2013, really to the beginning of 2016. So I think that, you know, having those conversations mm-hmm. to strengthen the plans that are in place is really all you can do at this point.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, certainly, as you've alluded to, you know, knowledge and preparation is key and very essential in the instance of dealing with a lot of uncertainty. And I think, you know, from a standpoint of how, you know, my organization itself is looking at kind of the do's and don'ts with regards to what we're seeing and their lack thereof is resiliency, and resiliency as a whole is simply defined for us as, you know, how are you able to weather the storm? And in most cases, as we've talked about with the challenges in last segment and obviously the do's and don'ts in this segment here is, you know, for us as being a project controls firm, delivering those type of services embodied by cost, schedule, and scope, certainly what we're seeing right now on our side of the business is that this is the prime time to prepare in order to come out of this thing ahead. But in a lot of cases, most companies are just, they don't have the willingness to step out in front of the curve. They're more reactive than proactive, and I think you talked a little bit about that in segment one as you deal with some of the changes, or excuse me, some of the challenges. But certainly, I think you know, a lot of your forward thinking aligns with kind of what we would look at, you know, at a very high level to ensure that you're able to move forward. And with that, what I'd like to do is give you an opportunity to kind of summarize, you know, some of the things that we've talked about with regards to the do's and don'ts and how you've emphasized communication, quality, and trust here in episode two. And are there any final remarks or
Absolutely.
Comments that you would like
again,
to share with our audience before we wrap
going
up?
Going back to communication, quality, and trust is just so crucial across the board. And I know I mentioned leadership, and I think that's something that, you know, if you are a leader and you're sitting here listening to this, that you've got so many followers and so many levels. So making sure that you stick to those three, trust, quality, and communications, is huge. You're not always going to have the best news in the room, but communicating it and how you communicate that is, it goes a long way. And, you know, again, trust in who you've employed to, you know, run the companies, get things done, get projects off the ground. And just remember, you know, the basis of the quality that you built these organizations on. I think that's something that's huge. And I know right now it doesn't matter who you are in what situation, what part of the world you're in. You know, everybody looks to leaders and, you know, making calls. And again, they can be as prepared as they want. But when it ultimately, when you're caught in something like COVID-19, it's very tough to make calls. And, you know, that trickles down. It goes from country to country, you know, organization to organization. And those leaders are also have leaders they have to look up to. So there's just so many of the trickle effect. And so I think that no matter what level you're at, sure, whether you're boots on the ground, you're a decision maker, you're in the market, remembering those three things and applying them to your approach and any approach that you're looking at, I think that will, it'll take you a long way.
Excellent. 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 Well, as we wrap, as we wrap up episode two, recruitment do's and don'ts, certainly we'd like to thank Ms. Kaylee Nixon for her professional insight and expertise in the matter of explaining to us the top three most important things to remember from a recruitment standpoint when you're dealing with a global pandemic or global disruption or any type of certain crisis. Communication, quality, and trust can carry you a very long ways. Well, Kaylee, look, you know, we're looking forward to talking with you again. I mean, this has been awesome. I mean, you know, we've got two segments down and one more segment to go, and really looking to probe into the mind of yours to see how you envision recovery and potential growth, you know, outside of this pandemic, which in most cases it looks like it may last 3 months or it may last another year with the mixed information that we're getting out there. And ultimately, we're delighted to have you, and we're delighted to talk about the next segment. And to our audience, I won't belabor this any longer. This concludes episode 2, Recruitment Do's and Don'ts. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Gregory Proctor.